Shalom, everyone. My name is Dada Yisrael Bonahar, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege, you know. It's not kind of stuff I need to see for Sabbath services.
Shalom, everyone. My name is Maya, I want to serve you as a priest starting very soon. It is an honor and a privilege to introduce the sons and daughters entering this sanctuary.
Shalom. We have a wonderful speaker that is urgent to come up and speak the message of Yah. Please get your pens and papers out as I turn it over to our first speaker.
Hello, everyone. My name is Pauline, and today I'll be talking about prayer. You may be seated. This woman is afraid. She feels something crawling on her. This is a spider. How many people been in a situation like this? Yahweh does not want us to fear, but he's not talking about spiders. He does not want us to fear what man can do to us, or fear the troubles of the world. In Psalms 91, verse 7, it says, 10,000 will fall at your side, a 1,000 will fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Put your trust in Yah, in Pastor, Yah's health, and Yah's great plan, and do not fear. Now I turn over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please sit. Let the peace of Yahweh be with all of us who are here today, all those who are joining us over different forms of media, and all those who hunger and thirst for great Father Yahweh's righteousness. And now, a very special welcome to our sisters, body of women, women of new, who will be speaking on the theme, I am not going to tell you. I want you to tell me today what the theme is going to be. Now, as the world plunges itself into fear, crippling their minds and their bodies, cannot make rational decisions anymore, they are promoting fear, we, the great house of Yahweh, we want to broadcast hope. We want to broadcast peace, joy, and love Yahweh's way. We want to broadcast great minds, great bodies, wellness of mind and bodies. Do you agree, Great House? Now, the way we will be able to broadcast this hope from Yahweh's Great House is if we work in unity. If we work in unity. So, this morning I want to do a unity test. How well is our unity? The feast is coming. Phones might not be working. We need to reach our sisters. How great is our unity? What about our positive frequency? We need to get all those things ready for the feast and ready to serve the world. Now, our test. We are going to test unity. I'm going to give you one word from each speaker. One word from each speaker. And then I'm going to give you a scripture. Now, based on those two things, you will tell me what you think the theme for today is. Are you ready? One word from each speaker. Let's go. And they're not in any order. Challenges, trial, tests, confidence, prepare, energy, power, influences, always, love. You don't have to write necessarily. You could just like, you know, breathe, protection, effort, warning. One word from each of our speakers. Challenges, trial, tests, confidence, prepare, energy, power, influences, love, always, breathe, protection, effort, warning. Got them? Yahweh and the scripture. Yahweh is our light. You are our salvation. Yahweh is the strength of our life. In whom shall we fear? In whom shall we be afraid? That's your scripture. Nice. Are you ready? Tell me what you think the theme for today is. Shout it out. Nice. And our body of women who will be speaking on the theme, do not fear, Yahweh is in control. Praise Yahweh. Do not fear, Yahweh is in control. And for now, our first great speaker, praise Yahweh.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You can be seated. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. We truly live in the most exciting time in the history of mankind, but we also live in the most dangerous time in history. With all-out nuclear war on the horizon, we know that the ability to destroy all life from the planet is in the hands of a few confused, pork-infected crazies known as world leaders. Any one of these could push the button at any given time. Fox News recently reported that the doomsday clock moved 100 seconds, roughly a minute and a half, to midnight, and we are at the closest point of nuclear annihilation since the Cold War. But for us in the House of Yahweh, things are far more dangerous and urgent. Satan is making war with the saints using weapons far more dangerous than nuclear bombs. True, nuclear bombs can blow your body to bits, but Yahweh can put those bits back together instantly. No, the weapons Satan uses are more subtle than bombs, but far more dangerous. What are these weapons? Satan's biggest weapons against us are our very own thoughts and emotions. Our own thoughts lead to feelings and emotions, which lead to actions that will either keep us in or take us out of Yahweh's house and kingdom. That is why it is so important for us to guard with all our might the thoughts, ideas, and influences we allow ourselves to be exposed to. We need to put away from us anyone or anything that would cause us or encourage us and influence us to do anything that would cut us off from Father Yahweh and eternal life. Turn over to Proverbs 4. On page 498, Proverbs 4 and verse 23, guard your mind with all diligence, for out of it flows the springs of life. And verse 27, do not turn to the right or to the left, walk away from evil. Now let's look at the Apostle Shaul's words in Colossians 2 on page 926. Colossians 2 and verse 4. Now I say this so that no one deceives you with persuasive words. And verse 8. Beware that no one leads you away like a prize because of philosophy or empty false statements according to the traditions of men after the elements of the world and not after Messiah. Yes, a person's so-called friends can be the death of them. In verse 8, pay attention to that phrase, empty false statements according to the traditions of men after the elements of this world. That's all the world has to offer us. They have nothing but misery, death, and destruction. Now let's look at Yeshua's own words to us, the people of the seventh era, in Revelation 3. Revelation 3 on page 973 and verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which you have, so that no man take your crown. Yes, he is coming quickly. We are in the last 3.5 years. There is no more delay. That no man take your crown, yes, this is most often done through other people, even worldly entertainment, phones, movies, music, videos, and it comes to us from the minds of other people. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, when the Apostle Shaul said that in the last days perilous times will come, he went on to describe the patterns and influences of other people who were not upholding Yahweh's laws taught only in his house. Notice in Revelation 3:11, Yeshua told us to hold fast that which we have. What do we have? Turn to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3 on page 938. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 14. But as for you, continue in the things which you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Yeshua Messiah. What we have is the knowledge of the Scriptures, the laws, the prophecies, and the complete plan of Yahweh, all available to us because of the work of Israel Hawkins, as led and directed by the High Priest Yeshua and Father Yahweh. Pastor has made it to where we cannot be deceived because he has exposed all of Satan's ways and tricks. It's now up to us to keep this in the forefront of our minds in every situation that we find ourselves in, so that we can say, as the Apostle Shaul said in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a righteous fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. From here on, there is stored up for me a crown of righteousness, which Yeshua, the righteous judge, will give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. And with that, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Come, everyone. You may be seated. Please be seated. Okay, I want to start in 1 Yochanan 3:11, and it says, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we must love one another." And that brings me to my title in 1 Yochanan 3, verse 8, that says, "My little children, let us not love in words, neither in speech, but in deed and truth." So Yeshua was the second greatest example of love, and he said the two greatest commandments in the law is to love Yahweh, your Father, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's in Matthew 22, verse 36 to 40. Yeshua said, "Just as I have loved you, so you also love one another." And I want to read Yochanan 15, verse 9 through 14. It says, "Just as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's laws and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be complete. This is my commandment, love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one would lay down his life on behalf of his brothers. You are my brothers if you do whatever I command you." So where do we learn this true love? Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek you first the kingdom of Yahweh." Seek first the house of Yahweh. Deuteronomy 17:9 says, "Go to the priests and ask for their decision." And they tell us what Acts 3:19 says, "Repent therefore and be converted." So the priests teach us love for Yahweh and for one another through the keeping of Yahweh's commandments and laws. Okay, so how do we show this love to one another? through the keeping of Yahweh's laws. In 1 Yochanan 2, verse 3 through 5, it says, "Now by this we do know that we know him, if we keep his laws. He who says, 'I know him,' but does not keep his laws, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his law, in him truly is the love of Yahweh perfected. By this we know that we are in him." So Yeshua said, "They will know that we belong to him." Can y'all finish that scripture for me? How will they know that we belong to Yeshua? Right, by the love that we have for one another. And we show that love to one another by overcoming sin and keeping Yahweh's laws. And only then will our prayers be answered and our blessings will come. In Revelation 22, verse 12 through 14, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work will be. I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those that keep his laws, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." And with this, I would like to play a video, and you can go ahead and sing along if you want to. It's just a piece of a song. So can I please have my video?
A new day has begun in Yahweh's house in these last days. He's opened up our minds to see the truth, that before Yahweh will hear our prayers, confessions must be made to the priests who are ordained in Yahweh's house. Recognize your life, for you humbled yourself and confessed your sins. And you've chosen to obey Yahweh and completely turn from sin. For now you realize what sin can bring. To those who turn from sin, Yahweh is near. And now in Yahweh's house praise, Yahweh will finally hear. Yahweh, your house now lifts up holy hands unto you. Your house now lifts up holy hands unto you. For you have forgiven us all our past sins. A new day has begun in Yahweh's house in these last days. Yeshua's seed has now confessed their sins. And finally, after all these years, your people are holy, for you've blessed them with your law and the desire to serve and praise you, Father.
Okay, and with this, I'd like to turn it over to your next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You can be seated. So if you haven't gathered already, today's theme is "Do Not Fear, for Yahweh is in Full Control." So there's many different acronyms for fear, but the one I decided to go with was false evidence appearing real. Let me repeat that. False evidence appearing real. In today's world, the evidence of fear is not false. There are wars, rumors of wars. Nation has risen up against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There are famines, pestilence, disease epidemics, pandemics, earthquakes in place after place, And there's even things we can't see, like big, bad, microscopic viruses that are taking people out left and right. And to even think about it, the worst is yet to come. Despite all of this, Yahweh tells us not to fear. So what is fear? It's that weird feeling we get when our life is threatened, or feeling when something, it can be dangerous or harm us. Now, fear kills dreams and hope. It can affect us physically. Our organs are affected when our bodies are in a constant state of fear. Fear can erode our faith and chip away at our belief in Yahweh. And the bottom line is, fear can cripple and has no place in our lives. Is there any wonder why fear is mentioned over 500 times in the book of Yahweh? From Genesis to Revelations, Abraham to Yochanan, we hear that commandment given over and over, fear not. That commandment was given to the children of Israel as they were leaving Egypt, to Moshe. It was given to David, who ran from King Saul for years and lived in caves before he became a king. To Daniel, who was going into the lion's den. To Kepha, as he was sinking in the Sea of Galilee. Fear not. Do not be afraid. So, why do we fear? Yahweh commands us not to fear. He told our forefathers not to fear. So I ask you again, why do we fear? Because we forget who Yahweh is. Who is Yahweh? A being whose might and power we can't even fathom. His breadth, scope, we can't even imagine. As Revelations 1:8 says, I am Aleph and Tau, the beginning and the end, who is and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. As Iob said, can we find the deep things of Yahweh? Can we find out the limits of the Almighty? The answer is no. Think of the most powerful thing. Yahweh is more powerful than that. Man has created rockets, nuclear bombs, all this technology, and he uses his power for destruction. But Yahweh is greater than that. Yahweh's power is evident in his creations. Think of the power of the sun. Yahweh created that. There is no thing or power outside of Yahweh that is greater than him. And this being who has the power to create a universe, a whole entire universe, and maintains it, tells us not to fear and to be courageous. Even when we face the unknown, he tells us to be courageous. He didn't say do anything else. He didn't say put on your combat boots, put on your helmet, or pick up a rifle. He told us to be courageous. Yeshua 1:9 tells us, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or become discouraged, for Yahweh, our Father, is with us wherever we go. Think of it like this. Yahweh, he has our backs. Like a little child who has to face a bully, but he knows his big brother is there to protect him, so he walks without fear, confident that no harm will come to him, and that's how we have to walk. With no fear, we have to be confident that Yahweh will protect us. Because truth is, Yahweh is protecting us, and he will continue to protect us because of who we are to him. Now, who are we to Yahweh? We are the fulfillment of his plan. We are his word. We are his word that will not return void to him. We are the seventh work, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Yeshua 1:5-6. No man will be able to stand his ground in front of us all the days of our lives. Just as I was with Moshe, he will be with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Be strong and courageous. Now, I want you to think about this question, not only for my speech, but throughout the whole sermon. With Yahweh, what benefit does fear have in our lives. Jeremiah 1, 17 through 19. As for you, get yourself ready. We hear this day after day. Get yourself ready. We hear it from the priest. We hear it from overseer. Get yourself ready. Stand up and speak to them all that I command you. Do not break down because of them, or I will break you down in front of them. For behold, this day I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar and walls of bronze against the whole land. And what do we have here? We have the city of Israel. This is our fortified city, our iron pillar made with, you know, people from all over nations, but we've come together to make a strong body. Against the kings of Yada, against its princes, against its priests, and against the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they will not prevail against you. For I am with you to deliver you, says Yahweh. Remember the acronym for FEAR, false evidence appearing as real. There is no place for fear in our life. With Yahweh, there is no place for fear. Because if we totally believe Yahweh, we serve him and we love him, he will be with us and we will have no reason to fear. As promised, Yahweh will go before us in all of our battles because we are his chosen people. And with this, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, you can be seated. The title of my speech is Yahweh Almighty. Yahweh watches over the house of Yahweh. He makes sure the earth is spinning, the planets are aligned, the sun rises each morning. He wakes us up and makes sure that we're alive. We are the apple of Yahweh's eye. And we go through life with this honor and this blessing, and the very one who gets pushed to the side the most is the one who consistently does all these things for us. It's the little things he does. He sends a breeze to give us relief, or lets it warm up when we're cold. It's when you think about something and he provides that thing you needed. He is solid and he is unshaken. He is in full control. But you know, the one thing Yahweh will not take control of is us. He will not automatically force us through that gate with us trying to go the other way. He said, I am your heavenly Father. I made you. I gave you these laws to go with you. And then he left it up to us to see what we would do with being alive. Sometimes we want to know what it feels like to be successful without the hard work that it takes to achieve it. We want 120, but we give 80. We want to be valued, be supported, be loved, but we haven't always done the hard work on our character to bring value and actually deserve the nice things. We deserve the kingdom. Do we deserve the kingdom? That's what we have to ask ourselves. Do I deserve the kingdom that people who were slain with the sword actually paid their lives for? In Hebrews 11, it says how they were tested, they were slain with the sword, and the world was not worthy of them. The world was not worthy of these righteous people. If the world wasn't worthy, then a worldly person wouldn't be either. Because if a person loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. If we have not worked for it, we do not get to enjoy the fruits of it. Galatians 6:4 says, let every person prove his own work, then he will have rejoicing in himself and not another. For each one must carry the load that has to be carried. The thing is that the future you that has come to perfection doesn't care about how you feel right now. Your goals don't care about how you feel. What you have to do, your misused potential and forsaken abilities do not care about what mountain you have to climb. They're still there and they're waiting, unspoken for and at times neglected. In fact, all of creation is waiting what we could be and hoping and trusting. The dead are waiting to be resurrected, although they know nothing. The future you sitting on your own planet doesn't care about any of the excuses that we have been holding ourselves back with. This is all nonsense to her. We are our own limit because we do what is comfortable instead of what will make us grow. We have been our own walls and our own stumbling blocks when we revert back to safety instead of pressing forward to do what is right and be uncomfortable for a little while for that vision and belief that we can achieve it because we want it more than anything. Change is painful, but nothing is as painful as being stuck somewhere you don't belong. And we belong to Yahweh. There is a chair in Yahweh Shema that has our name on it. And Yahweh, Yahshua, and all of high heaven are watching us behave like fools. Because we forgot who we are. We forgot that Yahweh set these offices ahead of time for you out of billions. Because he knew we could live up to the high calling that he ordained. That we have the guts, the true grit, and the stamina to be righteous. In the fourth book of Yeshua, page 148, Pastor says, you are here to inherit the kingdom of Yahweh, aren't you? That is your purpose, to obtain these offices that Yahweh planned before the world began. Our efforts are noticed by Yahweh. In Psalm 94:9, it says, he who implanted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? And Psalm 139:2-4 and 12, it says about Yahweh, you know when we sit down and when we rise up. You comprehend our every thought from a distance. You inquire about our going out, and you scrutinize our lying down. You are acquainted with all our ways. For there is not a word sitting on our tongues that you do not know all of it, O Yahweh. Even the darkness hides nothing from you, since the night shines for you like the day. Yahweh is always there. We could get to know him, but yet we put emphasis on talking to friends who are weak, just like ourselves. We talk about problems instead of praying about them. And we spend time with other people who are weak fleshly beings, just like us, way more than spending time with Yahweh, the one who actually deserves time and effort from us. The very one who did everything for you and I since the beginning of time deserves our time. To get baptized and not live for Yahweh is dishonest. To live 10% for Yahweh is dishonest. And the thing about it all is Yahweh said, I will guide you. I will help you. Do not fear. I'm in full control. I will never leave you nor forsake you. But we forsake him so many times for stupidity, to chase foolishness, and we multiply the troubles. And then we don't want to accept responsibility for ourselves. I have to face myself in the mirror and say, I owe you an explanation as to why you didn't do this. There are no excuses, and you can do better, self. The truth of the matter is, no one is going to come and make everything perfect. You have to do it. You have to make life beautiful, and I have to make life beautiful. It has to come from within, from our desire. We have to begin to see with our own eyes who Yahweh is. I have to get to know Yahweh. When Yahweh puts people in our life to guide us, we have to take it and run with it. We can't expect them to do it for us. No, we have to do the hard work of applying everything we're taught. Proverbs says, in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. The point of it is so that we can actually grow, not so we can stay like we are and have cool people around us. Yahweh puts them there so we can just grow and thrive. And we should be thankful and not spit it back in their face when they try to help us. The amazing thing to me is, Yahweh, even though we have let him down so many times throughout our life, he still wakes us up another day because he sees what we can be and he doesn't forget his covenant. And he's like, today they will do better. I know it. And he's faithful. Each week we have confessed, Yahweh has forgiven, and he wants to see how we will write the next chapter. We got to forget what we thought we were capable of because we can go above and beyond what we thought. Philippians 3:13 says, brothers, I do not consider myself as having yet taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Yahweh in Yahshua Messiah. I don't revert back to safety. I grow. I get uncomfortable, and I'm willing to be uncomfortable until I am made into what Yahweh wants me to be, and then I can have satisfaction. If we work on ourselves, the rest will follow. What is meant for you will always arrive on time and in Yahweh's perfect plan. We will survive because the fire that burns inside of us, the flame of the word of Yahweh, burns brighter than the world around us. 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. 3 out of 4 will fall away, but if our roots are deep and spread far into the house of Yahweh, we will stay. Isaiah 19:26 through 27 says, "Though after my skin has been destroyed, without my flesh I shall see Yahweh. I shall see him for myself. My own eyes shall behold him and not another. How my heart yearns within me." We know what disappointment feels like. We know what sorrow feels like. Now we want to know what peace and success is like, and we are willing to work for this. We are working for this every day, and we will work for this. We will achieve it because we were born for this. We are made to withstand every pressure, every challenge, and every attack from the adversary to get there. We have to put our trust in Yahweh because he will make the way. Through the darkest of night, he will lead the way. We have Yahweh Almighty near in our very reach. All we have to do is seek him. If we seek him, he will be found, and we will fully know the truth of that phrase. Yahweh says, "Do not fear, I am in full control." And I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. How's everyone doing today? Praise Yahweh. So we know our topic today is do not fear, Yahweh is in full control. And you know, as the times get worse, because we are already in the worst times of trouble ever, it's going to be very important that we come to this realization that Yahweh is in full control. So as I went throughout my tests and trials these last couple weeks, I had so many opportunities to put this into practice, to remember that Yahweh is in full control. How about you all? Yes. Okay. So, of course, I turned to the scriptures for comfort, and the first thing I saw was some notes that I had from a new moon film that was from years ago. And it was from the second book of Israel. It was chapter 17, verse 130. And it said, pastor said, "The more you know about genetics, the more you would understand what I'm talking about. He could look down thousands of years in advance and know what kind of character a person would have, inheriting certain traits all the way down for 6,000 years. From knowing this, he could actually prophesy who he would call before that person was ever born, whose character would be like his to begin with." So I said, wow, okay, this is really amazing, right? We know this, but when we meditate on these things, you realize how remarkable Yahweh is and how he has everything planned out. So then I thought about also in Do Not Fear, Psalm 191, 139, 16. And it says, "But in your book, all the days ordained for us were written, even before one day even existed for us." So I thought, okay, all the days of our lives are actually numbered before one day even started. So there's nothing to worry about because, like our previous teacher said, what can you add to your stature from one bit of worry? So Yahweh already has that planned out too. So then also in the new moon film, there was another note from the book of Israel, and it was from the 12th book of Israel, part 2, chapter 6, verse 32. And it said, "He's planned this life for you, planned not only your overcoming, but he gives you trials and tests. And all of these were planned out for you before you were born." So these tests and trials, Yahweh went to so much trouble, not trouble, but he went to so much effort that he actually tailor-made these tests for you that you're having in these last days before the beginning of time, because he knew exactly what you needed to come to perfection. So as I was studying this, I got this, there was this quote from a great sister, and it just fit in perfectly. And it was from the fourth book of Israel, chapter 16, verse 15. And it said, "You are here to inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. That is your purpose." Does that sound familiar? And it said, "He created the offices that you were to hold before he ever created the world to put man on." He says, your office was set before this world was ever created. Think about that. So I thought, wow, okay, so let's take a look at those 4 points that we just covered. That Yahweh is in full control because, number one, he preordained and planned you through a genealogy program before mankind existed. Number two, that all the days of our lives are already numbered before one day even existed for us. Number three, our tests and trials, they were all planned out before we were born, so don't try to fight them. Just go through them and know that it will strengthen you, and it's for your betterment. And number four, that our offices were already set before the beginning of the world. Praise Yahweh. So I thought that was pretty amazing. And it made me think about Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in Yahweh with all your heart and do not lean upon your own understanding. And then my eyes fell to the next page on Proverbs 2, verse 8. And it says, for Yahweh guards the path of the just and protects the way of his saints. And I thought, oh, how beautiful. In Proverbs 2, 8, there was the number 28, which is one of the overseer's lot numbers. So I put it in Yematria. And the numbers that came out were 5721, 4422, and 737. So I said, okay, I'll look up what those numbers mean. So in the Strong's Hebrew, these are all Strong's Hebrew numbers, 521 means adorned. There it is. Okay, so it means adorned, which is beautified or decorated. And I thought immediately about one of our great Kohanas, one of our Yematria teachers, who had told us that adorned mouth was 828, which is the overseer, Israel Hawkins. So that is how Yahweh guards our paths and protects us through the adorned mouth, Israel Hawkins. And number 4422, look at that. It's to save, deliver, or rescue. So we know that this is what Yahweh is doing for us. And then the last one, 737, it is allowance, provisions, portion, dinner. And that word is, it's spelled very funny. I had to look it up, but it's victuals, victuals. And victuals is, from dictionary.com, it's food or provisions. It's your sustenance. And if you think about Matithiah 24:45, who is that wise and faithful servant who's put over his house? Yahweh has set him over his house to give the people their food and provisions at the allotted time. So I thought that was so awesome. And this word victuals, also from dictionary.com, the origin of the word victuals, it actually means nourishment, it means a way of living, and it means to live. So praise Yahweh. I thought that was so wonderful, all of those put together, showing that Yahweh is going to guard his saints, and he's going to bring us to perfection, and he has preordained everything. And also, the overseer had said before that preordained also means prophesied. So prophesied, everything was set in advance, and Yahweh is going to accomplish what he has planned to do. Also, I know that we have been told that the way that Yahweh also gives us encouragement is through the scriptures, of course, but through the signs, the numbers, the Yematria, and through the hidden codes, and through little signs that he gives us. So I wanted to bring to remembrance one more thing about how awesome Yahweh is, just all the way down to the little details. So remember, you know, when the workers lay down the concrete, and they always put, they're inspired by Yahweh, they put the date, and then they put praise Yahweh. So years and years ago, if you look at that, if you look at the southeast corner, probably not everyone can go over there, but in the concrete down there, it's inscribed, can we have the picture? If you look at that, it says 5-12-10, praise Yahweh. So in 2010, 5 years before, he knew he was going to give the overseer that dream. He inspired the concrete workers to put 5-12 in there because he knew how important that would be and that it meant that Yahweh's in full control and that you would praise Yahweh. And remember, in Yematria, praise Yahweh means 828, which again will remind us of the overseer, Israel Hawkins, the one who is going to guard and protect us by teaching us the way of life of Yahweh, the laws of Yahweh, through his adorned mouth, and he's going to see us into the kingdom. So when you see that, remember to praise Yahweh, because Yahweh is in full control. And with that, if you all please stand, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, family of Yahweh. Please be seated. Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Today I'm going to be speaking about being prepared for Matithiah chapter 24. says, when you think of energy, what comes to mind? Do you think of a high-powered electric storm when we have lightning and it flashes in the sky and we have lightning that is looking like a spider web everywhere and it crashes so hard it shakes the ground and you're almost screaming because it frightens you so much? Or the electricity that you have to use in your house of all the things that you have to plug in, your toaster, your electric start oven, your curling iron, your computer, all the chargers that we have for everything. Now, these are all forms of electricity. But I'm going to be speaking about a different form of energy today. And that energy is going to be about our effort. Our effort in being prepared for what is coming in Matithia chapter 24. Specifically, Matithia chapter 24, verse 7. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences, disease epidemics, and earthquakes in place after place. Now, when I was asked to speak, I wrote this speech about a week and a half ago. So some of the information is outdated, but I'm going to give it as I wrote it, and then in the end, I am going to bring the updates concerning it. All right, so as you all know, the news is flooded with the epidemic of the coronavirus, possibilities of a pandemic. From WHO.INT and the CDC.gov, the coronavirus, also called COVID-19, is an infectious disease caused by a new virus, a god newly come up, that had not been previously infected in humans. The virus causes respiratory illness, like the flu, with symptoms such as a cough, runny nose, fever, sore throat, gastrointestinal symptoms such as vomiting and diarrhea, and in more severe cases, pneumonia. The disease can be fatal. Older people and people with medical conditions such as asthma, diabetes, or heart disease can be more vulnerable to becoming severely ill. Now, with permission from a great deaconess in the house of Yahweh, she shared with me that as of 2 weeks ago, Abilene is sold out of the N95 face masks, and they didn't know when they're going to be getting more. She had gone to town shopping with her face masks on to prevent getting sick, and she noticed that the people's reactions were a lot different than what they normally would be. Normally, she would get strange looks, and people would stay away from her. But this time, she didn't. She noticed that other shoppers had masks on, and she also noticed that those that had the masks on were kind of staying closer to her, like they wanted to group together with her. And they would have discussions about the price gouging that was going on, and she also noticed that other people were pulling their masks out of their purses and putting them on also. So it was helping with that ripple effect. She also shared with me a memo from the area business vendors that are in Abilene as far as their views on the coronavirus and flu prevention. So I'm going to read to you what's going around Abilene. So it's the memo, Coronavirus and Flu Prevention. It says, the World Health Community continues to monitor closely the emergence of the SARS-CoV-2 virus and the disease it caused, named Coronavirus 2019, or known as COVID-19. At this time, no one knows how severe this outbreak will be. Given this uncertainty and the fact that the seasonal flu, the influenza virus, is also widespread, we are taking proactive steps to address a number of business concerns, and our vendors should do the same. First and foremost, we would like to maintain a safe workplace by encouraging and/or adopting practices to protect the health of employees, customers, visitors, or others. We also want to ensure the continuity of business operations in the event of a pandemic. We ask all vendors to cooperate in taking steps to reduce the transmission of communicable diseases in the workplace and on the job sites. Vendors are reminded of the following: encourage technicians and employees to stay home while sick, wash hands frequently with warm, soapy water for at least 20 seconds. If soap and water are not available, use alcohol-based hand sanitizers with at least 60% alcohol. Cover the mouth with tissue whenever you sneeze and discard used tissue in the trash. Avoid people who are sick with respiratory symptoms. It is critical that employees and technicians do not report to work or to a job while they are experiencing respiratory symptoms such as fever, cough, shortness of breath, sore throat, runny or stuffy nose, body aches, headaches, chills, or fatigue. Currently, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends that employees remain at home for at least 24 hours after they are free of fever, 100 degrees Fahrenheit or 37.8 degrees Celsius, or signs of a fever without the use of fever-reducing medications. Many times, with the best intentions, employees report to work even though they feel ill. It will take all of us working together in support of our mutual safety and health. Following good health and hygiene practices are the best defenses against the spread of the disease. So you can see their intentions are very well thought out. It says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There is no temptation taken hold of you except what is common to man, and Yahweh is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also make the way of escape, that you will be able to bear it." Now, we know that this is not a temptation of something that we're wanting, but it does show us that Yahweh will be there for us to help us endure all of this. And on my first slide, we have a chart called a fear-based society. And from 1999 all the way to 2000, it shows all the different things that they tell us is going to kill us. In the year 1999, Y2K, then we have anthrax, West Nile virus, the SARS, the bird flu, the E. coli, and then some of this is political. We have the bad economy, swine flu, BP oil, and then they say Obamacare is going to kill us, the Mayan end of the world, North Korea, the Ebola, the Disney measles, and then we have fake news, migrant caravans, measles, and then the final is coronavirus of this year. So you can see with all the things that we have lived through, we have not died, a lot of people are either going to go crazy on this or they're going to ignore the warning. And I looked up COVID-19 from the Gematrix, or Yamatrix, and from the Hebrew Jewish, it came from number 1010. And Hebrew 1010 means house of Baal. This tells us where the coronavirus is coming from. In 2 Thessalonians 2:9, it says, "Whose coming is according to the energy of Satan, who works with all power in signs and lying wonders." So assess your level, your energy level, your effort in preparedness. Praise Yahweh. Pastor says in the 16th book of Israel, chapter 20, verse 48, he says, "A few months ago, before this, I told you I was worried, deeply concerned about the sickness and disease of people suffering in the house. Yahweh let me know by a dream that he was in full control. I haven't worried about it since, maybe a little. I'm always able to put it behind me and get to work since I had that dream because I know that Yahweh is in full control of his people. He has taken care of you, and he is going to take care of you. He will see you through this whole thing if you will just let him." And in Psalm 127, verse 1, it says, "Unless Yahweh watches the city, the watchman stays awake in vain, but he still must watch. You must put forth your energy, your effort, to be prepared for what Matithiah 24:7 says." And with that, I will now give you the updates concerning what has transpired since then. Praise Yahweh. Very quickly, because I'm getting my stop sign, from around the world, the latest on the pandemics, the coronavirus deaths have now topped 5,000, with more than 132,000 cases worldwide, Europe being declared as the epicenter. In Italy, all pharmacies and all food outlets have been closed, and their death had climbed 31% in one day to a total of 827 in 24 hours. We had multiple sporting events canceled, and Disney, Broadway shows, Mount Everest, all these public areas are being closed down, which is affecting mankind's lifestyle, which is causing for them to get a little bit uppity. And then we also had where our President Trump gave us a news conference yesterday, and we had a lot of highlights concerning that.
They're going to be setting up drive-through stop-ins in Walmart, Target, Walgreens, and CVS for testing for the coronavirus. And a little closer than home, we have the mayor in Abilene saying that we are currently free of the coronavirus. We have Texas schools shutting down. Stores and supermarkets were packed on fifth day because people were flocking for to get tissue and toilet paper. And with permission from the Clyde Family Dollar, the cashier told me within 4 hours' time, they sold $2,000 worth of toilet paper. They had one customer that spent $500 on wipes only. And with that, can I get the overhead slide? All right, we have the, that is the Dollar General in Clyde, and then the next one. That is the tissue aisle. This is the water aisle in Walmart. The next aisle, this is the sign from Walmart now posting after everything has been sold out on how we're limited on things. Next one. And this is the Clyde Library. The city paid for huge bottles of alcohol-based disinfectant before you use the computers. And then last but not least, our final, if you need 144 rolls of toilet paper for a 14-day quarantine, you probably should have been seeing a doctor long before COVID-19. Praise Yahweh. And with that, I'm sorry I went over. Yahweh bless you, our next speaker.
Shalom. Please be seated. All right, so last week, Overseer ended his sermon by reminding us that we are in the last 3.5 years. And he said, "You've been warned. Now, what manner of person ought you to be?" You know, with everything that's going on in the world right now, with the wars and the diseases and all of the fear that's taking place, it just really brought to my mind how Overseer has been warning us that all of these things were going to take place for years before I was even born. And now we're starting to see even the world trying to be like, oh, these things are taking place, and they're starting to see that all of the fear. But I was going over the Mark of the Beast Volume 2 this week, and something that really stood out to me is Overseer was saying how some of the people will read this book, and they'll believe the material that's in it, and then they'll start to come out of this world and start learning what they need to do in order to be worthy to escape. Then he said others will read it, and they won't believe it at all, and then there will be some who will read it, and they'll believe it, but they'll think that they still have time, so they'll procrastinate taking action. And that reminded me of the scripture in Ukeptia 33, verses 2-5. It says, "Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring this, or when the sword comes upon the land," which of course we know that the sword represents the war, "and I take unto myself one man," we all know who that one man is, right? "From all the people of the land and set him as a watchman for them. When he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet but does not heed the warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood will be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet but did not heed the warning. His blood will be upon himself. But he who heeds the warning will deliver his life." He who believes into the one sent without having to see the things take place. And we show that belief to Yahweh not with our words, but with our actions, through our obedience, because only the obedient are going to be found worthy to escape. And as it said of, you know, the three men, Daniel, was it Eob and Noah, they were only able to deliver themselves through their righteousness. In Psalms 119, verses 59-60, it says, "When we considered our ways, after we hear the warning, we considered our ways and retraced our steps to obey your testimonies. We hastened and did not delay to observe your laws." Hastened and did not delay. We didn't procrastinate. We took action. And a lot of times people will say, you know, "Oh, I'll start next week," or "I'll start tomorrow." But we're already 9 months into the last 3.5 years. Our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15-16, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, aware of every action, not as fools who don't believe all that the prophets have spoken, but as the wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil."
And Yeshua's memorial is only 24 days away right now. And Overseer Seth told us, you know, he said that this great Passover that we're looking forward to, it might not be this Passover, but if it is this, isn't this Passover, don't let this Passover be a mark against you. And in the 17th book of Israel, chapter 8, Overseer gave a sermon where he compared Exodus 12 and their preparations to leave Egypt, and he compared it with Luke 12 and our preparing for this great Passover that's coming. And he referred to it as a time of haste and getting ready. And in that same chapter, Yeshua, in Luke 12, Yeshua gave two examples. One of the faithful and wise servant who heeded the warning, they got their golden oil and they were ready and they had their lamps burning. They prepared their hearts and minds, and when Yeshua came, they were able to open the door unto him immediately and were actually able to be served by Yeshua and sit with him at the marriage supper and be given their jobs. And then he gave the second example of the wicked servant who heard the warning, but they did not heed the warning, who knew his ruler's will, but did not act accordingly and were cast out and appointed his portion with the unbeliever. And one of the speakers said before, you know, change is painful, but nothing is more painful, would be more painful than being cast out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, knowing that we had the opportunity and we threw it away. Now is the time to examine ourselves, to consider our ways, and to be diligent to get all the leavening out of our hearts and out of our minds so that we can be found spotless, blameless, and at peace and in unity with our great overseer, so that when Yeshua comes, he finds us ready and can say, "Well done, my faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your ruler." And in closing, I would like to read 1 Yochanan chapter 2, verse 28 through 29. And he says, "Now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence." And you can reference with that Eob 4:6, where it says, "Should not your righteous conduct be your confidence? Should not the integrity of your ways be your hope? So that when he appears, we may have that confidence and not be ashamed in front of him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, then you know that everyone who practices righteousness is begotten of him." And with that, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom. You can be seated, please. Yahweh's peace be with you. Shabbat Shalom. I'm Deaconess Rose, and my title for my speech is "What is Fear?" I have the meaning for fear. And we all know that fear comes in all forms, shapes, and sizes. One of example is it can be fear as asking, fears of correction, fear of challenges, obstacles within our lives. A fear meaning is an unpleasant emotional feeling of anxiety concerning the outcome of something, loss of courage, fear for someone or something, or it can also make you avoid or put off doing something because one has feared. And it's an Oxford.com and Merriam-Webster's. Well, 1 year ago, I faced a challenge that really impacted my life, that I long suffered patiently, sort of speaking. And I remember begging and crying Yahweh. And for that time to come. So it was moving to Abilene. So I had done all the necessary appointments that I needed to do, and all the requirements I needed to do, and everything was going great. And this was in 2018. There was two deadlines that I needed to fulfill before moving to Abilene. One, I received a letter stating that there was a deadline. I couldn't move to Abilene yet until the 11th Roman month. So I knew I had to wait for sure. And then I received a second letter, and it was also for the 11th Roman month. So I said, okay, Yahweh, I understand. So as I was guided and asking and going to my counselors and mentioning about these letters and so forth, I had to fast. I fasted. I seek counsel for fasting, and because, like I said, you can have, there was a lot of things going in my mind and my thoughts, and it became where, because I needed to wait for a year, right? For it was in 2018. It was in 2018. I think it was in 17, 18 when I received the letters, but they told me I needed to wait on 2018. So, as the deadline came, I acted quick and I, you know, went to my appointments and everything, and everything was going great. I even came to Abilene in the 12th Roman month, and I saw the house. Everything was going great. And then and my lease had expired on the 11th Roman month. And then the landlords were telling me, okay, you need to move out. You need to move out now, or we're going to, you know, you have to do another contract, another lease. And I was like, no, wait, I have talked to the directors. I had done all that. And so I had to go back to the directors and, you know, ask them. And so during that time, it was becoming stressful to me and fearing that, oh my word, this is my opportunity. So one day, as I was working, I came back, I came home. I do have two pictures that I want to show you. If, yes. Thank you. I don't know if you can see it, but that's a tree. The day before it had rained, and it wasn't like a big thunderstorm or nothing, but it was just a tree. And did you show both of them? Yes. Oh. No. Okay, so there's two trees. Those two trees are my neighbors in the right, and the right and the left. So I remember those trees bothered me because they're if you can see, well, one is in the right and the left. And then I would, I remember I was fasting before on the, somewhere like in the 9th, 10th, 11th Roman month in the 2018. And I would go outside, sit outside so I can have some vitamin D and, you know, to be peaceful and just think, have positive thoughts, waiting patiently for the due date for me to move. So anyways, I was bothered by those two trees because, you know, all the trees falling and then I had to rake and everything. So anyways, as I was saying that I came home that day, there was a thunderstorm the day before, and then I come home and one of my child is tells me, Mom, guess what? The tree fell or broke or whatever. And then I was like, what do you mean? And yeah, go outside. So I look at the right and I'm like, oh my word. And then I look at the left and I was like, oh my word, what, you know? So with that, I do have the details of those. Where are they? Oh my word. The date was 12/13 and then the time was 5:51. And on 12, the Hebrew meaning of 12/13 is to make plain, declare, I show. It goes to 12:12. It's clear, evident, manifest. And the Hebrew on 5:51 is verily, truly, indeed, no doubt, surely it is. It goes to 5:44, faithfulness. 5:30, it goes to 5:39, to confirm, support, believe, have faith, nurse, trust. So I was, you know, because I was fearing, stressing, you know, my moving over here. So this gave me trust. This, you know, Rose, come down. You're okay. Yahweh supporting you. So praise Yahweh, I'm here. And I did put in Yematria also, do not fear, Yahweh's in full control. And the numbers came up to 2395, also to 2202, 367. And on Hebrew 20, 395, it's a Benjamite, and then it goes to 2388, to be or grow firm or strong, strengthen, display great strength, overcome, be courageous, of royal power, confident. And 367, it says tread, terror, fear, fearsome, terrified. And it just goes along with do not fear, Yahweh is in full control. So as I was mentioning about the fasting, that has helped me and learn and going seeking my counselors to help me with, you know, fearing or stressing or, you know, anything that would help. How can I be a benefit to the house, to the work? And as I learn and grow, you know, to ask, go and ask and not lean on my understanding. And I always praise my counselors because, oh my word, they have helped me so much. And I'm very thankful for them. And I praise Yahweh all the time that they are in great health, strengthen them so they can, you know, guide me. And we do have the protection when we seek Yahweh's house. And as Matthew 6:33 says, and Deuteronomy, is it Deuteronomy? Like seek the priest, 79 or something like that. But I encourage you, stay firm, stay strong, be encouraged, seek your counselors, and seek Yahweh, and let's be in unity and encourage one another. And with this, I'll turn it to the next speaker. Thank you.
Order! Order in the High Court! All stand.
Shalom, everyone. Can all please rise? No, stand. Raise your right hand and your left hand towards heaven, please. All right. No laughing now, it's a serious matter. Do you vow, House of Yahweh, to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you, Yahweh Almighty? Do you, House of Yahweh, vow to tell the whole truth? Let's change it. Do you vow to keep the law, the whole law, and nothing but the law, so help you, Yahweh? Please be seated. Court is now in session. We have a case number here. It's called 512613, Queen of Heaven versus House of Yahweh, Family of Yahweh, name 1074. Did you know you were on trial? Did you know you are on trial? I see little heads shaking. Let's first show Exhibit A and Exhibit B. Now, please remember, all things you say and do can and will be held against you in the court of law. Now, that is not to make you afraid, but it's actually supposed to be encouraging for you, because we are not in the courts of the world. We're in Yahweh's house, and Yahweh's courts are much different than the world's courts. Have you seen how they brutalize people in the courts? Do you remember what they did to our overseer pastor? Do you remember that? How they twist and manipulate words, and they deceive for their own reward? Let's go to Exhibit A and B. So we have here, now I've been tallying, it's tallied in the heavens. All heaven and earth are watching you. Exhibit A and Exhibit B. This is the works of 666, and this is versus the works of 1074. Now we have two leaders here. You see them? I'm going to bring up some old pictures. Because it's been tallied. It's in the courts. It's in the heavens. Everything is documented before the kingdoms. Now, this is his system. And this is the system of the gods. You see on the right-hand side or your left hand? We have two different systems. Now, instead of WikiLeaks, we have YisraelLeaks. YisraelLeaks out the book of Yisrael, the House of Yahweh book. You see that? He leaks this out. while they are putting up their flag. He already leaked this years ago, the Wall Street. That's current events. Do you see that? This is 2009. He leaked it. He said it first. Israel leaked global warming. And Israel leaked superbugs. Now we're dealing with coronavirus. Do you see that? Now, if you're keeping up with your studies, you will be up to date. There's no way you wouldn't have all of this knowledge before you. Let's go through what the House of Yahweh has done. Unsealed the laws of Yahweh. You see that? They were sealed, classified, sealed by the Lamb. Do you remember that? The clean and unclean laws are revealed for us while they're still eating from wet markets and having all their unclean animals being slaughtered among each other and then creating a coronavirus. We are eating what? Clean food. Yes. The prophecy of the temple being rebuilt and where it is and how it's, the dimensions of it, leaked. Old pictures, don't be ashamed. Old pictures. Third global conference on peace. This is what the House of Yahweh was doing while the world was doing what? What was the world doing? Making coronavirus and creating STDs? Now, it's for you. It's up to you. All of this is leaked. Let's talk about this man of sin. Let's talk about this man of sin. Now, in the prophetic word, this was actually a prophetic word of January. It says here, so that's the first Roman month of 2014. And he's on the front cover of this one, and he says, "Let no man deceive you by it, any means. For what that day, when that day comes, and unless all things be done according to the plan that Yahweh has," he says that servant of sin has to be revealed first. And you know, servant of sin is Romans 6, verse 16. And, right? Do you remember that? Whoever is a servant of sin, he has a certain kind of work. You can identify him. It's very easy to see his works. It's not something that you have to look hard for. Even though they can put on nice robes, and you can tell, they've copied the House of Yahweh. They copy and mimic. They wear gold. They wear purple. But the Pope had to shut down Italy. Is the House of Yahweh shut down? There you go. It's kind of, it should show where the protection is. You can see where the protection is. Is it? That's very evident. All of Italy is shut down right now. Do they have protection, House of Yahweh? It says now in verse 6, this is 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 through 4, 6, and 10. Now I'm going to jump down to verse 6. And you know that what is restraining him so that he might be revealed in his time. For verse 7, the mystery of iniquity is already working, but the one restraining him will continue to restrain him until he is made to appear in the midst. In the midst. Do you remember that? We did extensive research on in the midst. In the midst of what? 7 years. There we are. We're in the midst, are we not? All right. Verse 8, and then that lawless one will be revealed, whom Yahshua will remove with the breath of his mouth and make powerless. Powerless. What does that mean? Powerless. Now, what is his power? What is this man's power? Look at this. Can you show this picture up here? What is this man's power? He only has one thing. What does Satan use to get people to keep from Yahweh? Deception, right? Deception. So that's his, he makes them powerless. And how do we make them powerless? Through teaching the law. That's correct. It says, now verse 9, it says, whose coming is according to the energy of Satan. The energy of Satan. The energy of Satan. It's a strong energy. You can feel it. It's not something that, it's like a presence. You can tell. If you know coronavirus, there's so many things going on to attack the body, the mind, the spirit, anything. There's so much energy coming against you. And you need Yahweh every minute, every second, every hour of the day. You can't do it without him. It's impossible. It's impossible. You cannot. It's too strong. The deception is strong. The people are weak. right? Now let's turn over here. I have several scriptures for you. But last night, I thought it was just perfect. On Yahweh.com, they have sermons playing all the time. And the great Kohan brought out the 1074. That was 2018. And he was just hammering us. He was hammering us. He was hammering us. This is my meat pounder. He was hammering us with those scriptures, right? He said, Yahweh's laborers, this is your lot. This is your number. When you put it into the gematria, it comes out to 1074. He says, copyright of the book of Yahweh, the holy scriptures, 1074. When you put it in the gematria like that, similar character, 1074. Making man in my image, 1074. That's Genesis 1, verse 26. Eat book of Yahweh, 1074. Took book, right? And it says, out of the hand of the Moloch. That's also in there. And it shows that the copy of the book of Yahweh was made in 1987, right? And you have Father, you have the Father's name. Now, there's plenty of more scriptures that go with this. But it's so extensive that there's no way you can eat all of this in one sitting. You would be overfilled. Is that not true? You need to get, Yahweh serves you portions every week. He knows how to serve. He knows how much food you need at each time, and he gives it to you in the proper time. And who does he give it to us through? Israel Hawkins, right? Now here, let's go. Now the question we have for you is, you knew you were on trial, but did you understand that Yahweh's courts are fair and just? We are placed here before the heavens and the earth as a jury. Go to Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 through 15. Right? Or 15 through 19. I say 19 first because that's the scripture I want you to focus on first. All right, you have Deuteronomy 30. Are you there? Let's go to verse 19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursings, because you are free moral agents to make choices on your own. So he's giving you a choice, right? And he's telling you to choose life so you can live. Choose life so you can live. Now the choice is yours. You can represent yourself in this court of law, meaning you detach yourself and be your own representative, or you can be given the greatest lawyers, the law firm that Yahweh has given in the house of Yahweh. And between the two of them, pastor and the great high priest, Yahshua Messiah, you have the best law team to back you, and you are able to overcome and endure all things through that law firm that you have, right? It's impossible for you to make it into the kingdom without that team. And if you understand that in Zechariah, you see Zechariah 6:13, that's your law team. And the council of peace is between them both. Great. So it's your choice. Either you stay in this van, 1074, and all those names, everything, that's your tag, that's your lot. And when you stay and you endure, you inherit all things. All things. It's yours. The choice is yours. And with that, your dismissed court is out of session, and we'll go to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. My title today is What is in your lion's den? Fearing doesn't help. Embrace your test. Great Father Yahweh allows tests in our lives for two reasons. To help us recognize where we're growing short, and to help make us like Yahweh himself. Remember Genesis 1:26. Yahweh said, I will make man in my image, according to my likeness. and they will have rulership. Now, not all tests are pleasant, but they can be very effective. Now, let's take a look in the scriptures at a couple of instances. The first one I want to bring up is Yana. Now, if we look at Yana 1, verses 1 and 2, we see that the word of Yahweh came to Yana, the son of Amittai, saying, "Rise up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Now, the word of Yahweh, this is not like what you would see in Hollywood, you know, where the skies open up and the big booming voice goes, "Yana, Yana." It's not like that, nor is it like the Hollywood movie where it goes, "Yana, come here." No, the word of Yahweh was a priest of Yahweh, an authority over Yana, who went to him and gave him these instructions. But did Yana listen? Not really. He copped an attitude. "No one gonna help tell me what to do. I'm not going to Nineveh." So we see that in verse 3, "But Yana rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of Yahweh." He left the house of Yahweh. Can you believe that? So he paid the fare and went down into the ship to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of Yahweh. Now, we all know what took place. I mean, if he thought that test was bad, what he was going to encounter was 100 times worse. There was a storm that rose up. As a result, he got thrown overboard, swallowed by a fish, ended up on the beach. And he still ended up having to go to Nineveh. He didn't escape that test. He had to go to Nineveh. And he did. A much humbler man, I'm sure. The second one I really want to bring out is about Daniel. Now, he was in, at the time of Darius, was the king at that point in time. And those that were under Daniel rose up against him and convinced the king to issue a decree, making it unlawful to pray to anyone, to pray to any god other than through Darius. But what did Daniel do? If we look at Daniel 6:10, we see that it says, "Now when Daniel learned that the decree was signed, he went into his house and in his upper room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem, he knelt down, gave thanks, and praised before Yahweh just as he had done before. He girded up his loins." He wasn't going to let anything stop him from his mission, his walk with Yahweh, no matter what came about. Now, if we look in these last days, we see two others that I'm going to bring forth, two others that come to mind to me. The first is the great Kahan Yedidia. I think you could say he was in a lion's den, don't you? Yes, yes. Now, he could have sat there in his cell and said, "Oh, poor me. Oh, this is horrible. This is terrible. I don't want to be here." But did Kahan Yedidia do that? No. He said, "Yahweh has me here for a reason, right? I'm going to teach these people. I'm going to teach them Yahweh's way. I'm going to teach them the peaceful solution and then go from there." And that's been his mission, and that is his goal, and he is serving Yahweh 100%. Yes, praise Yahweh. And the second one I want to bring out is our beloved pastor and overseer. How many times has he been dragged into court? And consider the time that he was arrested and he was put in jail. Did he cop an attitude? No. No, he kept doing Yahweh's work. Can I get a pencil and a notebook? Praise Yahweh. Even when we saw him on the television, right? When they were bringing him into court, he was very upbeat about it. He was teaching Yahweh all the way. If anybody was going to know anything about Pastor Yisrael Hawkins during that trial, is that he loved Yahweh more than anything else. Praise Yahweh. And now we're down to us in these last days, right? What is in your lion's den? What is it that you're being tested with? Maybe it's a fall away that you're friends with, right? Someone from the world? Who is tempting you? Maybe it's someone who says they love Yahweh, but is not following the teachings of the house of Yahweh. Right? It's up to you to decide your path, which way you're going to go. Are you going to be like Daniel, Pastor Yedidia, or are you going to be like Yana and get swallowed up by a big fish? The choice is ours. I know that in these last days and times with this coronavirus, things are getting a little tight. There was someone who sent me a picture yesterday of one of the local big box stores and the aisle, and it's a big aisle where the toilet paper was. It's empty. There's not even a square to spare. All of this time, if there's one thing I know, and I've been in the house of Yahweh 30 years, Pastor has been saying for us, prepare. Get yourselves ready. There's a time coming like no other. Have we been diligent? Have we been like those wise virgins, getting our oil together, studying to show ourselves approved? Putting away our storehouse, not only for ourselves, but for others. If we have, then well done, faithful and righteous servant. The Apostle Shaul's take on his den of lions can be found in 2 Timaeus 4, verses 5 through 8. But you be watchful in all things, endure all afflictions, and do the work of a preacher of the message of the kingdom of Yahweh. Fulfill your ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a righteous fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. From here on, there is stored up for me a crown of righteousness, which Yeshua, the righteous judge, will give me at that day. And not to me only, but also to all those who love his appearing. Shaul had fought that righteous fight. He had stayed on the path. Once he was called out, he had one goal in mind, and that was to preach Yahweh's way. I would like for you to close your eyes now, because I'm going to read to you a scripture. And this is Yahweh talking to you. It's found in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts, plans that I have for you, thoughts of peace and not of destruction, to give you the future you hope for. So open your eyes now Great Father Yahweh just spoke to all of you through me. And he gave you a promise. What is your hope? What are you working towards? What are your goals? Plan your walk with Yahweh. Don't let it be too late. And with this, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. The title of my speech today is Build Your Confidence in Yahweh. Okay, now what is confidence? The dictionary online says that confidence is the feeling or the belief that one can rely on someone or something, firm trust. So confidence is trust in Yahweh. Okay, let's establish a time period here now. In Mark of the Beast, Volume 2, my book is a bit tore up, if y'all can see that. Mark of the Beast, Volume 2, Chapter 10, it's the three woes. The heading is the three woes. We were told last Sabbath, but we're in the first woe. On page 114, it says, a group of the house of Yahweh is to be protected for the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation after Satan is cast down, which is what time period we're in. It says, Satan persistently tries to destroy the house of Yahweh in safety. Satan casts out of her mouth waters as a flood against the house of Yahweh when she is taken to the place of safety. That's Revelation chapter 12, verse 15. Now, not this Sabbath, but the Sabbath past in the men's law class, Greg Kahan covered, he said that Satan uses two methods to destroy mankind. One is just plumb destruction. And he said that Satan tries to stop the prophecies of Yahweh, but she cannot. In the 17th book of Israel, on chapter 42, on page 493 to 503, the sermon, Satan and the God's plan is to destroy mankind along with the earth and the heavens that involve the earth, goes into grave detail about that destruction. Now, the second method, he said, is a flood, okay? He said that Satan floods the house of Yahweh with propaganda and persecution, which we have all experienced and been through. But on an individual level, she floods us with negative emotions, with self-doubt, self-defeating thoughts. She floods us with social media, things and concepts that do not go and jive with where Yahweh wants us to be, right? Conflicting worldly music, etc. This is why we need to build our trust and our confidence in Yahweh, because he's the only one that can save us. Do you agree with that statement? Awesome. Okay, who should trust Yahweh and have confidence in Yahweh? We all should, right? Okay. Why is it important to have confidence in Yahweh? Because it's to our best interest. Here are five reasons why our confidence should be in Father Yahweh. Now, I'm going to read the first scripture, but for time's sake, because I got a lot of information here, I'm going to give the scriptural references, and if you could go back and check them out on your own time. Okay, the first reason is Yahweh is alive and well. Yahweh is alive and well. If you all turn over with me to Yochanan 6, verse 57, it says, just as the living Father has sent me, let me read that again, just as the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, which is what we're getting ready to do, will live because of me. So we too are going to now live because of Yahshua. Okay, the second reason is Yahweh is an active father in the lives of his children. Yahweh is an active father in the lives of his children. And that scriptural reference is Philippians 2:13. The third reason, Yahweh is guiding and guarding his plan diligently. In Zechariah 9, verse 8, it says that he encamps about his house. Now, we've all seen the security out there, so we know what that looks like, right? He encamps about his house. And side note G8 says that he's watching. His eyes are watching who's coming in and who's going out. So he is alert and aware of what's going on in this house here. Now, it says Yahweh is the next point, number four, is Yahweh is ready and willing to bless the sons and daughters, his sons and daughters. In Matithiah chapter 7, he says, "You sinful know how to give gifts to your children. How much more the Father in heaven knows how to reward and give gifts to his children." Now, number five, it says, Yahweh is a man of his word, and the entire universe knows that, and we are in the process of that, becoming people of our word, okay? In Hebrews 6, verse 18, it says, "It's impossible for Yahweh to lie." Okay, so Kohana, now I know why. Now let's talk about how. What are some things we can do to build our trust in Yahweh? Four simple things that I do on a daily basis are, because I can only speak for myself and I can only teach what I'm doing. Okay, first one, make contact with Yahweh in prayer, which is what we're going over in Book of Israel, chapter 1, right? Make contact with Yahweh in prayer. Establish a constant relationship through prayer with Yahweh. A large portion of the acts of power that Yeshua Messiah did was with prayer, asking permission and acknowledging Yahweh as the power by which these acts were to be done. So Yeshua always asked permission. When he fed the 5,000, there was prayer involved, okay? Okay, and I also wanted to plug in there. Everybody who received healing in the scriptures from Yeshua Messiah were aware of the power of Yahweh and aware of the prophecy and the authority of Yeshua. They came after behind him and they said, Son of David, have mercy on me. They must have known the prophecies in Isaiah. Okay, so moving on. Second point is feed spirit holy. You have to study. I know, please don't stone me. You've heard that 1,000 times in your lives. I understand that. But studying is important. It's a scientific fact that learning anything new changes the composition of the brain. Okay, so your whole structure of your mind is changed with studying. Okay? And the scripture says, in this time period, we're to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. In order to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, you have to download the information in the computer. There's not going to be any change if the spiritual, electrical input is not there. Okay, so we have to study. That's important. And with study, real quick, I wanted to plug in. Know your interests. If you're a person who likes carpentry, you can study Solomon's Temple. If you're a person who likes, let's just say, makeup and beauty and all of that, you can study Hadassah's beauty treatments. Like, what exactly was that? How long was it? What did she get into? You can study in Timothy where it says adorning yourself. That one of those words goes back to cosmetology. It's cosmos in the Greek, but the connection is cosmetology. So whatever you like, that's what you study. Don't just open your book and you'll just get lost and frustrated. Do simple things that will be effective for your growth in the faith. Now, my last point is be thankful. Find the gold nugget in every situation. Value the lesson. Okay? A great head judge said, "Take your beatings well." And them beatings hurt, but they are effective. Now, I wanted to cover, in 1999 on 9/11, Pastor did a sermon called Being Thankful and Becoming Joyful. He said it's a requirement and a law to make it into Yahweh Shema. So now, okay, let's take a look at Yeshua's murder and impalement on the stake and the blessings. That is a horrific situation, but the blessings that he received and that we'll receive. Because of time's sake, I'm just going to quickly go through them. One, he qualified to be our high priest over the house of Yahweh to work with overseer. Two, he qualified as our atonement sacrifice to buy us back from Satan, because every single one in this room belonged to Satan when we worshiped Satan in the world. And three, Yeshua qualified, this is so deep, please listen to this. Yeshua qualified for the position of light bringer so that the prophecy of Revelation chapter 9, Yeketika 28:17, and Isaiah 14:14 could be fulfilled, which it says, she was cast down out of heaven. Pastor said in a sermon, Satan's way of influencing you is the name of the sermon. He said that Yeshua qualified. And that was so deep to me because had Yeshua not have qualified, I would not be here. Thank you so much for your attention. And with that, I hand it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. It's truly a privilege and honor to be speaking before the called out ones of Yahweh. How blessed we are to be in the great house of Yahweh in these last days, and how blessed we are to be here at Abel. Praise Yahweh. And I know we're aware that there is a great multitude of people out there that cannot be here at this time. They want to be here, their visas aren't approved, whatever occurs, they haven't been able to make it yet. Please remember them in your prayers. It's not easy for them. And those that can make it, get here fast, because it's getting harder and harder to find a way to get here. Don't you agree? So my title today is, There is a lot going on in the world, but worrying doesn't help anything. And I know that in the fourth book of Israel, I'd like to bring out this quote right here. It says in verse 49, this is chapter 7, verse 49, this has to be a time at the end of the world when man is capable of destroying himself, when the whole world is deceived, and when it is also possible for a very small group, the little flock, to take this message throughout all the world to every nation. There is no more delay. There is no more delay. And I'd like to add to that Luke 12:32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's righteous pleasure to give you the kingdom. If there be great tribulation upon the earth, do we have great tribulation today? Absolutely. It comes not by the keeping of Yahweh's word, but through the wickedness of man. So I know we've all experienced our little shopping situations. I usually order online, and next thing I knew, I was online, normal like everything, and out of stock. And that kind of gets you a little worried, doesn't it? It's like, what in the world is going on? Well, the coronavirus has hit the world, full swing, right? And I checked this morning. Now, 149 countries and territories have coronavirus. And the toll of those sickened that are reported are 148,929 with over 5,500 deaths. So this isn't a joke. It's not a little thing you can just kind of sweep under the rug. A new study published by the prestigious journal called Vaccine titled this article, Influenza Vaccination and Respiratory Virus Interference Among Department of Defense Personnel During the 2017-2018 Influenza Season, reveals that influenza vaccination might increase the risk of infection from other respiratory viruses. This is a phenomenon known as virus interference. So they're trying to come out with their vaccines, but you find out when you get a flu vaccine and these other vaccines that you can have virus intervention, and it can actually interference and cause it to have like a 30%, 36% increase in the risk of catching the virus. I'd like to bring out in a historical perspective, in 1918 was the swine flu pandemic. It was also called the Spanish flu, and today it's still called the mother of all pandemics. It infected 500 million people around the world, about 20%, 27% of the population at that time. I think it was around 2 billion. The death toll, they still don't even know for sure, was somewhere between 50 to 100 million people, making it one of the deadliest epidemics in human history. The first pandemic influenza appeared in early 1918, and then it had a pause through the summertime, but then it bloomed in the fall and winter going into 2018-2019. So it's pretty serious. We have heard of the run on all these dust masks and toilet paper. Why is everybody buying up toilet paper? Do you think they're going to eat their toilet paper?
I mean, if I were them, I would be going for the food. Why aren't there runs on food? But there are some places that do have runs on food, too. But it's interesting that they find these certain, as I call them, luxurious items. You know, they're just like a luxury. They didn't have toilet paper for over 6,000 years, practically. But it's interesting what mankind deems as something important to go after. But we have school closures. We've got employees being sent home to work from home now. Home, at-home businesses are really booming. Quarantining threats, encouraging people to avoid crowds. What has our overseer been teaching us for the longest time? Don't go out. Avoid public places. If you do, he's given us specific instructions. Of course, one of them, I have my little basket with me today of all sorts of things to help us here. And one of the most important ones that he brought out a long time ago is your little thieves' spray. Just a little thieves' spray. It doesn't matter what people think of your smell. Just put it on anyway. It's very, very beneficial. Okay, so let's continue. What is our best defense? House of Yahweh, what is our best defense? Yahweh. Yahweh the power. Yahweh is the only source of power in the universe. He has it all planned. You heard everything today. They covered so many of my points. They've already covered. Yahweh is in full control. He has everything covered. All we have to do is pay attention to our thoughts and our emotions. How many of you felt your emotions getting a little out of control? Come on, I'm not the only one, right? Oh, when stress comes on, it can help you be tested severely. And sometimes it's best to just take a pause, take a deep breath, and refocus, because things can get a little crazy at times. But we know Yahweh is our only source of power, and we know the house of Yahweh is the administration that is guiding this work through these last days, and we have to put our full trust in that, too. We must look to the administration. Our overseer has been covering every point as we have gone along with everything. Ever since I've been in the house of Yahweh, since 1996, he has told us what we needed to do to bring us to this point. It's quite exciting, really. It can be stressful, and it can be a little worrisome at times, but that's okay. So the next best thing that we can do, and I really want to emphasize this today, is boost your immune system. Now, just think back as we went through the last winter. Coronavirus wasn't here when people were sick, right? Ask ourselves, what can we do individually to boost our own personal immune system? Because my system is different than yours and everybody else. Everyone has their own unique system. So we have to pay attention to what will help us. Everybody take a deep breath. What do you smell? Garlic. That's the wisdom of our overseer. How many of you felt a cough coming on? Anybody ever have a cough through the last 3-4 months? Raise your hand. All right, what is this? Onions, raw onions. I don't know how long ago our overseer covered about raw onion. It is so beneficial. If you're like me, I eat it raw all the time. I love it. You can chop it up, put it in bags, put your feet in it, and sleep with them all night long. It'll help with a cough. Simple things like that. Okay, what else did I bring? I know I have some essential oils in here. They're absolutely wonderful. Vitamin C. Vitamin C. Any kind of vitamin C will help boost your immune system. And when you feel something coming on, that's a great time to boost it even higher. It doesn't hurt you. There's no harm in it. It's very, very beneficial. And all those sites out there that talk about health are all promoting vitamin C right now. Just basic ascorbic acid. Okay, I have to throw something in here. How many of you like to sprout? If you aren't sprouting, and you can't get to the store, and you want your fresh produce, and you can't get it anywhere else, sprouting has got to be one of the easiest things you can do in your home. It doesn't require sunlight. You do it in the dark. It doesn't require soil. You only use water. You can recycle your water as you rinse your seeds. And the little seeds, this one is radish seed. It's one of my most loved because it's spicy. And it really helps give you the minerals, the vitamins, the fiber. And it's so simple to do. If you have a jar and a little screen, anybody can sprout seeds. It's excellent. Now, along with the paper products, we've heard a lot about them going on right now, and all the gas masks or dust masks trips that everybody has gone after. You can take a paper towel, I made one, fold it in half, and just put two little rubber bands on it. And this one's kind of short, but you can just put it right around, and it'll protect you. We can do so many homemade things. But years ago, I did an improvement on that, and this is a little tiny linen mask. So all you have to do is fold it and pleat it, and then you can put that little mask on a little face or a bigger one for a big person. Those are great. So if you're running out of toilet paper, you don't have your tissue, I don't know about you, but for years when I was a little girl, I ironed all of my father's handkerchiefs. I think there's going to be a run on handkerchiefs soon because people won't be able to buy the product. So buy yours now or make your own. So we see that Yahweh has a great plan for all of this. There's many more things I could have put in there, but one of the most important ones is our preparedness. We haven't even been hit yet with the nuclear coming on. You know that that's still very important to be preparing for. You need your minerals, and everybody knows that you need your molasses and your whey in order to get those minerals. And it says it right on page 91 here about boosting your immune system. Build your mind. Keeping Yahweh's laws, studying, and overcoming will keep your mind stay, help your mind stay strong and free of confusion. Stay strong and focused on Yahweh, never being separated due to sin. That's a very important reminder for all of us. And I would like to just encourage everyone. In the fourth book of Israel, chapter 5, I'm sorry, first book of Israel, chapter 5, cling to Yahweh's promises. Can I have my screen? Cling to Yahweh's promises as the end draws near. This is found in verse 107, Isaiah 35, verse 4. Say to Yahweh, say to those who have First book of Israel, chapter 5, cling to Yahweh's promises as the end draws near. This is verse 107, found in Isaiah 35, 4. Say to those who have fearful minds, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your Father will come with his judgments. He will bring forth his judgments, is what this means, with recompense for you. Not vengeance against people who are waging these wars. He will come and save you out of this thing. Verse 108, this is in verse 6, continuing. Then the lame man will leap like a deer. If you remember, this was one of the things in Malachi, also where he shows that once this takes place and you receive your power and healthy minds and bodies, that you will leap like calves coming forth from the stall. So I encourage every one of you, do not fear. Yahweh is in full control, and we are going to see this through. You all please stand. I welcome our other speaker.
Shabbat shalom again, great saints of Yahweh. Please sit. I'd like to entitle my portion this time of the day from the 8th book of Israel, the words of the great last day's witness, Israel Hawkins, from the 8th book of Israel, chapter 2, part 1 of that book, chapter 2, written on 1/19/18. He said, look, he said, think of the power those laws have. The laws of Yahweh are spiritual. 1:19:18. Think of the powers that those laws have. The laws of Yahweh are spiritual. When I think of the powers that the laws of Yahweh have, I say to myself, why so? Because Yahweh himself is the one who designed the laws, tested them, proved them, just to be the blueprint of what he wants to use to make mankind into his image. The perfect blueprint to make mankind just what he wants them to be like himself, to guide and teach and rule and take care of his creation like he does. Now, children, In the Garden of Eden, who do you see creating mankind in the beginning, the universe, the birds, the seas? Who do you see doing creation, children, in the beginning? Who created everything? Yahweh created everything. Now that's established. We see Yahweh in the Garden of Eden. He's creating everything mankind needs to the T. Oxygen in the air, nitrogen, hydrogen to breathe, the sea calcium in the water, the salt water to cleanse the earth, the herbs are for the healing of the nation, and in the earth itself, the minerals, the gold, the silver, the platinum, zinc, in the minerals for man to use, oil, all of these in the earth for man to use. The animals for man to use to work and do things, and those who want to eat animals, and then Yahweh gave mankind his nose. Creates everything for mankind, and then puts mankind in that garden. Controlled environment is what the children told me. And it reminds me of the mother's womb. And I heard it used, Psalm 139, twice. Psalm 139, used twice. Wonderfully made. In the Garden of Eden, when Yahweh created everything, reminds me of the mother's womb. You know, the mother's womb gets ready for the baby and everything. Nice. Minerals, whatever the baby needs. Wonderfully made. Yahweh, in the Garden of Eden, creating everything. And then he says to us, he created mankind. He says, mankind, don't eat this. Eat this. This is how to dress. This is what to make your linen with, your fabric with. Use this for that. Do this with that. Very specific. After he created us, knowing what to take care of our bodies and make us live abundantly full lives. He says, do this, don't do that. Like any loving parent. But us, mankind, turning in jealousy, bitterness, envy, rebellion against our Father, turned against him. And dying, we have died. Us, mankind, we have died, turning in bitterness against our Father. Influence to turn and accepting the influence to turn. We have died. I have a few clips I want to discuss with us, different ways that we have died. Could we have clip one, please? What is this outfit called? What are you wearing today? Now, it's funny, but it hurts. It is a way that mankind has died. This is called a what? A pants dress suit. What is it called? It is not fair for our next generation. It is not fair to our children. We have died. Can we have clip two, please? Can we have the next picture, please? Yes, this is the UK woman jailed for trying to open the plane door mid-flight. We have died. Mankind. You see, she's in the plane and suddenly she's saying, let her open the door to go outside. Now, no, us, it's kind of a little bit funny, but then it's not. Because what they want to do to her is to put her in jail for 200 years. Or how many years? 2 years, sorry. 2 years. Put her in jail for 2 years because she wants to open the plane and go outside when the flight's in mid-flight. Why? We ourselves have bred into our generations of children dying and death. But we, the house of Yahweh, we are teaching hope to the great world and healing to the world. Now, what hurts me about her is, you know, if you have a stomach ache and you start, coughing, a little throw up, would they put you in jail for 2 years? But her, it's because there's something wrong in her brain, you see, that we ourselves have bred. So because we don't understand mankind, the brain, and the different problems that we have in our brains, we ourselves deemed to put her in the prison for 2 years. She'll be worse than she was before. So that's the wrong decision. She needs to be out there and taken care of, not in the jail where she's going to be worse. Do you understand, Great House? We're just talking about mankind, okay? Could we have now? Many of the things that our brain dysfunctions came from our childhood, bred from our childhood. Can we see our second slide, please? How childhood trauma changes our mental health into adulthood. Many of the things, the dying in our minds and our dysfunction in way of thinking, our problems, disorders of the mind, lots of them stem from what occurred to us in our childhood. Hence, mommies, daddies, teachers, let us pay attention. And this shows the different things. You can read it there. Just a headline made anyway. So let's go to the next slide, please. 4 years, deaf boys tried to tell of priests' abuse. So long ago, somebody told this to me, and I have not gotten over it yet. They told the priests, they told three archbishops of somewhere, they told two police departments and the district attorney, they used sign language, they did everything. But their reports fell on the deaf ears of hearing people. Deaf boys, that's where the 200 is. 200 deaf boys this person abused over his course of taking care. You send your child to the leaders to guide them and teach them and protect them, and they are hurt and destroyed in the process. And you know what hurts me about this most? Is that they're deaf. So if you couldn't hear to help your friend because they were all deaf. Love your neighbor, whether it's a brother or an enemy, as yourself explained in Leviticus 19:18, saying, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge. So what if you have planted your garden, your tomatoes, your oranges, fruits and vegetables, and this person comes and says, I like tomatoes, I like oil, and they plant electric fences around your tomatoes. Now you yourself, you took care of those things. You day and night, you had to harvest this, stay up late and work the soil nice, as I saw the sisters doing by the garden over there and at the mail room, and work the soil nice. And you had to pay people to help you to take care of your family. And some people came and they built fences around your tomatoes and your oranges because they like them, or that's what they were told to do, or that's what they were told to say. And you said, no, not on my land. Are you going to seek revenge and bear a grudge and try to retaliate? No, not if you keep in Yahweh's laws. You see, Yahweh's laws say, explained, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge. Let them have the tomatoes. Because let them take the oranges. Because if you do not seek revenge or bear the grudge, you are going to become like Yahweh himself. You are going to abound in righteousness and truth like Yahweh himself, because his laws were perfect, the blueprint to make mankind as himself. His laws say he will make us as himself. How? With his laws. What's about when let's say your supervisor asks you and B to do a job, okay? Real. And you work hard. Day and night, you're writing. You know, you miss your meals. You're taking care of the projects. She asks you and A. And you're working hard. You know, you put your heart into the project. And you know what? When your supervisor went to relate to the authorities, she says the other person did all the job. And you heard it with your ears. Are you going to seek revenge or bear a grudge? No! Because let Yahweh's laws make you into the being that Yahweh wants you to be. Abounding in righteousness and truth, being fair, honest, both sides of the coin. And make decisions like Yahweh himself. That's who Yahweh wants us to be, like himself, in everything that we do, say, and think. Let the laws of Yahweh make us who he wants us to be, into beings as himself. Did Yeshua retaliate? When they slapped Yeshua on the cheek, bam, in his face, did he retaliate? Did he take revenge? He said, if they slap you on one side, what do you do? He said, when they fight, they want to take the cloak, what to give them to? The next thing you have. Because you let them take it. Now, a slap is not just a physical slap. It's the words we speak, how we speak, the things we do, the decisions we make that hurt others. It's like a slap in the face. But are you going to seek revenge or bear a grudge? Hence, when you do it like Yeshua, the laws of Yahweh to beings like Yahweh himself, to guide and keep his creation like he himself, because that's what we heard the young priest praying. Let us be Yahweh. Make us who you want us to be, for that's who we want to be. Do you understand, Great House? So, guard adults, guard your minds. Do not fear. Guard your minds. Young people, do not fear. Guard your minds. Children, do not fear. Guard your minds. Proverbs 4:23, guard your minds with all diligence, for out of it springs the springs of, out of it flows the springs of life. And with this, we turn over to the great priests of the house of God.